I'm Andrew Whippler. Nice to meet you. Haska tutustua. That's Finnish for a nice to meet you. If you take your Bibles with me and turn to the book of Romans, Romans in chapter number 3. A lot of people, when they come to me, they ask me, why Finland? Why to go to that country? They probably don't want you there. Why does Anchor Baptist Church have a missions emphasis? Why do they have a missions conference? Why does Anchor Baptist Church invite missionaries to come in? Why should the Whippler family go to Finland? Why should I give above and beyond my tithe to missionaries? Why should anyone ever consider full-time Christian service? Why? What is the reason somebody would do that? Well, this morning we'd like to answer that question, why? I believe the answer is found in Romans in chapter number 3. If you would with me, look at Romans 3 and verse 10. The Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Yes, we as Christians have been given the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But the underlying cause of that, the same cause that brought Jesus to this earth to die on the cross, was for sin. Sin is the cause. Sin is the reason why. This morning, we'd like to look at three overwhelming facts about sin found in this passage. You see, sin is present in any society. It's found in Vancouver, Burnaby. It's found in the United States of America. It's found in every community. It's found in Finland as well. But in Finland, many sins such as gambling, sodomy, alcoholism, prostitution, they're not only legal, but they're acceptable as ways of life. So let's look at the overwhelming facts about sin. The first overwhelming fact is found in its description. Now, have any of you had to explain something that the normal person just could not comprehend? Maybe it was a language barrier that you're trying to explain something in a language you're not very familiar with. Or maybe it was a job and then a job description. For me, it has been a job title and then a job description. The Lord has allowed me to work in my hobby of computers. I've held various job titles such as help desk technician, system administrator, DevOps engineer, cloud architect, to name a few. But when asked what I actually did, my day-to-day duties, things like working with Docker, Kubernetes, continuous integration, Microsoft Exchange, continuous delivery, and configuration management. Most people looked at me and scratched their head and thought, Docker, is that some sort of boating device? No, it's not. For some, to explain a hobby or a field of computers, sometimes it lacks in its description. Most people don't normally understand when you say things like Kubernetes. But accurately describing someone is found in this passage. You see, sinners have been accurately described. We are all sinners, and we are all equally sinful. In 1926, the governor of Minnesota commissioned a study to determine what life qualities turns a normal person into a criminal. In May of 1927, the commission was able to give their first report, of which the following text was found. It stated, every baby starts life as a little savage. He is completely selfish and self-centered. He wants what he wants when he wants it. His bottle, his mother's attention, his playmate's toy, his uncle's watch. Deny him these wants, and he seizes with rage and aggressiveness, which would be murderous if he were not so helpless. He is dirty. He has no morals, no knowledge, and no skills. This means that all children, not just certain children, are born delinquent. If permitted to continue in this self-centered world of his infancy, given free rein to his impulsive actions to satisfy his wants, every child would grow up to be a criminal, a thief, a killer. Isn't it amazing that the commission issued by the governor of Minnesota in 1926 found what we already find in the scripture, that we are all sinners, we're all secretly sinful. Did you know that all it takes for one person to become a sinner is to be born? The Bible states, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For there is not a just man upon this earth that doeth good and sinneth not." The description of sinners, I believe, is most accurately depicted in Romans 3 and verse 10. As it is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one." This passage goes on to give characteristics of sinners as well. You see, every sinner has their identifying marks. Just like if you were to walk with me in a grocery store such as Walmart or even Costco, you might find on the shelves boxes with words on them. And those words will describe the contents of it, what's inside that box. You see, sinners will have those labels. They will have identifying marks. Now listen to some of those labels that are described between verses 11 and 18. Listen to some of them paraphrased. You see, sinners do not understand the things of God, and they are not actively looking for God. Sinners are headed down the wrong pathway. Sinners have hurtful speech. Sinners are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery is found in the path of a sinner. No presence of peace is in a sinner's life. Sinners have no fear. But perhaps the most intriguing thing about a sinner is they usually don't think they're a sinner. It reminds me about the story of a woman who was at an airport one night with several long hours before her flight. She hunted for a book in the airport shops, bought a bag of cookies, and found a place to drop. She was engrossed in her book, but happened to see that the man sitting beside her, as bold as he could be, grabbed a cookie or two from the bag in between, which she tried to ignore to avoid a scene. So she munched the cookies and watched that clock as that gutsy cookie thief diminished her stock. She was getting more irritated as the minutes ticked by, thinking, "If I wasn't so nice, boy, I sure would like to blacken his eye." With each cookie she took, he took one too. When only one was left, she wondered what he would do. With a smile on his face and a nervous laugh, he took the last cookie and broke it in half. He offered her half as he ate the other. She snatched it from him and thought, "Oh, brother, if I was, this guy has some nerve. He's also rude. Boy, he doesn't even show any gratitude." She had never known when she had been so galled and sighed with relief when her flight was called. She gathered her belongings and headed to the gate, refusing to look back at that thieving ingrate. She boarded the plane and sank in her seat. Then she sought her book, which was almost complete. As she reached in her baggage, she gasped with surprise. There was her bag of cookies in front of her eyes. "If mine are here," she moaned in despair. "The others were his, and he tried to share." Too late to apologize, she realized with grief that she was the rude one, the ingrate, the thief. Doesn't that describe us all? We like to think that person over there, "Oh, they're sinners. Not me, I'm a perfect person." We like to think that other people, "Oh, they're wrong. They need the Lord." But it's us. We are the sinners. We're all on the same boat. No matter how hard we try to blame other people, it is us who are at fault. I heard about a man who was driving home from work one evening when he was pulled over for not wearing his seatbelt. 3 days later, he was driving down the same road without a seatbelt. He got the ticket at the same stop from the same police officer. "So, have you learned anything?" asked the officer. "Yes, I have," he began. "I've learned that it's time to find another route home from work." You see, sinners have an overwhelming description. Everyone is one. But next, the overwhelming fact about sinners, it's found in their destruction. Notice what the Bible says in verse 19 of Romans chapter 3. The Bible says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith,
it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. You see, sinners have been pronounced guilty. The trial has come. Both sides have presented their case. The judge has had time to meditate upon the evidence given. As he bangs his gavel in declaration of the verdict, one word comes out of his mouth: guilty. I find the defendant guilty. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Before God, all sinners are guilty. Because of this guilty verdict already upon them, all sinners must perish. All sinners must face a penalty for their sin. And that penalty is death. For the wages of sin is death. Make no mistake, the Bible is certainly clear. Those that die without trusting in Christ as their personal Lord and Savior will face that ultimate punishment of separation from him in the place the Bible calls hell. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." It does not matter today if the sinner is in Finland or if the sinner is right here in this room. If you die without Christ in your sins, you'll spend eternity in that place. Have you considered recently that by the end of this statement, four people have passed into eternity? Have you considered recently that by the end of this statement, another four people have passed into eternity? Maybe the next person will be in this room. Maybe the next person will be your neighbor. Maybe the next person you'll meet them later today. Finland is a unique country. But they're saying by 2031 they will face a reverse population. By that I mean that they will not have enough live births or immigration coming in that will surpass their death rate. Finland is a dying country right now. They're going to face a reverse population if something is not done about it. People in Finland are dying, and to my knowledge, are dying without Christ. They're on their way to hell. This passage gives a description of sinners. It pronounces the destruction on sinners. But I'm so glad this passage of Scripture does not even stop there. It continues on. You see, the most overwhelming fact about sinners, it's found in their deliverance. You see, there is a deliverance for sin. A remedy has been offered for sin. The Bible says, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." So how does one who has done sin receive this remedy, this forgiveness of sins? Well, notice with me, Romans 3, verse 23. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." You see, the remedy for sin is found in a redemption. Redemption is a fancy term. In fact, most people don't even know what it means just by looking at that word redemption. So let me give you its definition. Redemption is the action of regaining or gaining possession of something in exchange for payment or clearing a debt. Let me say that again. Redemption is the action of regaining or gaining possession of something in exchange for payment or clearing a debt. You see, a price must have been paid for someone to receive that redemption. Jesus, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It was Jesus who died on the cross to offer redemption for sin. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. This redemption for sin is extended unto all people. There are no exclusions to this redemption for sin. Now, there are those who believe that because Jesus died on the cross for all, then all are God's children by default. But that's not true. We just looked at the passage of Scripture where it says all of us are sinners. You see, this common misconception is common among Catholic believers and Lutherans, especially the Lutherans in Finland. They believe that if you are baptized, if you're a good person, keep the sacraments, and finally trust in Jesus, you might have hope of eternal life. But that's not true. You see, redemption from sin only comes from one source. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus teaches the only way to heaven is by trusting in him. As we have studied in this passage, all are sinners by default. So how do sinners transfer from knowing they have sin to receiving that redemption that Jesus Christ died on the cross? Well, it is received through a personal choice. You must decide. Notice verse 25. The Bible says, whom God hath sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. In other words, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. To be the recipient of redemption, you must believe in Jesus. Amen. Believe he existed. Believe that he lived a life. Believe that he died, was buried, and rose again the third day. It is this belief and that alone to receive the pardon from sin. When a person trusts Christ as Savior, past sins for that sinner are now gone. They are no longer applied to their account. The record will show an empty spot where guilt and despair once filled. A songwriter, upon hearing about what Jesus Christ did for him, wrote a song of which I will now say the words. It says, I remember the days when I was bent low with the burdens of sin and strife. Then Jesus came in and rescued me and gave me a brand new life. Now as I thank him day after day for washing my sins away, it seems I can almost hear the voice of the blessed Savior say, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. From the book of life, they've all been torn out. I don't remember them anymore. With the overwhelming destruction that all sinners will face, will there not be any who's willing to go and tell them? And that was presented to me. Why? Why should the sinners go? Why should the Whipplers go to Finland? Why not? So today our question is, would you partner with us as we try to reach the lost in Finland? Thank you. All right, we're ending a little early in Sunday school. Pastor said if you have any questions, you may ask them now. We have our display table in the back. We ask everyone to go by and pick up a prayer card. Today only, they are $1 in Canadian dollars. If you want one, you can. No, I'm teasing. That's a joke. They are free if you commit to praying for us at least once place them where you would see them regularly, like on a refrigerator, on your bus pass or something along those lines, in your car, anywhere, on your foreheads, on your spouse's foreheads. Just place them somewhere where you see them and we'll see it regularly to remind yourself to pray for us. Common questions we get when we're asked about Finland, like what do they like to eat? Well, they have really good salmon, I'm told. I have not yet had a chance to, well, actually, no, I did have salmon there. It was really good. It's fresh cod off the North Sea. We have our presentation in the next hour to show you more about Finland, but if there's any time in the mean questions, go ahead and raise your hand. Yes. We're going to go to the capital, Helsinki. In the back. That's still to be determined. We're praying about, actually, because Helsinki has a very good language course, just going straight there. There's not a missionary there that we're currently known aware of, not even a national pastor in Helsinki. So, in our presentation, 62% speak English as a second language. They teach it in their schools. In fact, in order to go to the University of Helsinki, you must know English. Because they teach all their classes in English. So right off the bat, we'll be able to start an English Bible study as we learn the language. We are planning to learn the language because if you speak English first, they think you're a tourist. Now, they like tourists, but they want you to learn their language if you want to connect with them. All right, any other questions? You have one, Pastor? Did you have a question? Oh. Yes. Well, on our website, we show 16%, but we think a couple of churches added us on, so I'm saying somewhere around 20%. So we're projected to be on the field by June of 2021, so that's in about a year and a half with full support. So as long as churches like this and others vote to take us on, we should be able to meet that goal or sooner. So, in the back, yes. We've heard conflicting results, one from a negative view of a pastor who was there for a little bit, and then there is one we talked to saying that they're very open. We are finding that Finns are searching for truth, and they're not finding truth in the Lutheran Church. They're not finding truth with the Jehovah's Witness. They're not finding truth with the Mormons, and so they come to the conclusion because they have high IQs, I believe the average IQ in Finland is 160. I think that's one of the things I've heard. I couldn't find the documentation on that, but they are very smart over there. And so since they're not finding truth, they come to the conclusion, well, there must not be a God, so I'm going to declare myself atheist. So we believe we have the truth of God's word right here. The Christian life is true, and we want to share it with them. And we believe because Finns are searching for truth, they'll be able to find truth in God's word, and they will be very open to that. Yes? Safety on our travels, as well as getting to Finland by June 2021. Yes? It was not underneath communist occupation. Thank you. Some of those words are very hard on me, but they were an autonomous Grand Duchy underneath Russia in 1809 until 1917 when they got their independence. And when World War II broke out, they were able to defend their independence by siding with the Germans when Russia tried to invade them. So they were able to fend off the Russians. That's in our presentation. But here's one story I like to tell about Finland. There was a Finnish soldier. He was by himself. He fended off he maintained his position by himself for 2 weeks without reinforcements, and 20,000 soldiers were trying to overcome him, and he was able to successfully defend his position for 2 weeks. That tells you the veracity, the tenacity that Finns want to love their homeland and do not want foreign invaders to come and overtake them. And so that was in the World War II, so when that story happened. Any other questions about Finland? This morning, are there any, or what is the much Yes. So while we were over there, we saw a Baptist church, about 50 people. I've tried to reach out to them. He's not responded. There is a national pastor in Tampere, which is 2.5 hours north of Helsinki. And then there was an evangelical church, kind of church, that preached the gospel, went out soul winning, had about a few members there. So what I found, there's about 250 people that might be saved in Finland. So, and the population of Finland is 5.5 million people. The Helsinki area is about 3 cities. That's 1 million people right there. That's a fifth of the population. And so not very much going on.